Watch Scrolling Sunday special. We're going to call this one just our And Now the News segment. We're going to talk about today's news. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about the news, and we're going to see how it goes. Our special guest this week is Mark Brett. Say hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Good job. I knew you were going to be smart enough to do that. Let's go over the news segment for today. Raspberry Pi 2 has been released. This is our new $35 computer, and it is a quad-core CPU with 1 gig of RAM and 4 USB ports. Once again, it's a $35 computer. It's about the size of a deck of cards. You can build it out of an Altoids tin, and I think it's going to revolutionize computing. I ordered mine, and it's going to be here any minute now.
I'm very excited. As soon as you get it, I want to come see it. And as as it was released, Microsoft said that they were going to start developing their server. I mean, you can put Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi.
Version of Windows 10, not the full version of Windows 10, but it will be a version of Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi, and that software from Microsoft will be free. That's right. You can buy a $35 Windows 10 computer today.
And why is Radio Shack going out of business?
And Radio Shack is going out of business is our second headline. It's amazing to think that we are in this makerspace where we are making so many things, and Radio Shack, which was synonymous with the maker movement, has lost it. They don't have any sales, and they're going out of business and closing all 2,400 of their stores.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Raspberry Pi, especially this new one, is a great example of why they are going out of business. In the old days, if we were back in the 1970s, for something like this, assuming there was something like this available, we would head down to the Radio Shack and get the transistor radio and build that and things of that nature. Now they're just sending it to us directly, and for a price like $35, you know, what would they do? Mark it up to 60 or 70? The Raspberry Pi is a great example of just how obsolete a store like Radio Shack has become.
Mark, are you into technology? Are you planning on buying a Raspberry Pi for your house?
Probably not. No. I've got enough computers as it is.
And that's the difference, I think. I don't have enough computers because there is no such thing as enough computers, and I brought three of them to this hotel that we're doing this podcast in right now. There's no such thing as enough computers. I don't understand your sentence structure.
Did you just say it does not compute?
That's right.
I'm a smartphone, okay? I am a neo-Luddite. So.
Well, if we think about $35 for a Raspberry Pi, and you throw out a word processor on top of that, or a web browser, the ability to look around, you really are starting to see where computers could just bottom out as price. I mean, it's pretty amazing what the power you can get today. This is probably more power than the space shuttle had on it. I know that your iPhone is, or you know, any type of Android phone is. So, it just is amazing. And this was built for kids or people who have interest in programming or something of that to take it and do whatever they want to with it. If you want to create something out of it, you can do so. If you want to write programs for it, good for you. Throw it in something that, you know, a car or a drone or a plane or whatever, and see what it can do.
What the Raspberry Pi is going to do is going to be the future of home automation. You are going to get to a point where everything in your home is going to be computerized, as much as it is now already. They are going to be interconnected, and the Internet of Things is going to change everything about lifestyle, at least in this country.
Okay. And like I said, entry level is a good price point.
There you go. Harper Lee, who is still alive, that's the headline, Harper Lee, still alive. Harper Lee has released her second book. It's called, well, we don't know what it's called yet. I'll take that back. Harper Lee is going to release a book. It is the sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, which was written 55 years ago. This one is a sequel to that book. It's set 20 years after the original book, where we see Scout growing up and living life as an adult. It's going to be an interesting story. And the headline again, Harper Lee, not dead.
So is Gregory Peck in this one, too? No, he's
fine. I believe Harper Lee is alive and Gregory Peck is not.
They will be resurrecting him for the film version. That's my understanding.
A ghostly image, right? No. It's going to be the computer-generated one, like Tupac and like Michael Jackson touring, you know, whatever they can put together.
And Mark, you brought up an interesting point before we started recording. You said that this is possibly a problem that this book is in existence, that Harper Lee might not have written this.
Oh no, she wrote it definitely. This was actually written before To Kill a Mockingbird. She turned it into her editor. Her editor said, "I really like the flashback sequences with the young scout. Can you give me a book about her as a child?" And that became To Kill a Mockingbird.
Nice.
This manuscript was lost, or thought lost, for decades. Someone's found it, and now they've put a contract in front of Harper Lee. She signed it, and they're going to release it.
Ah, so this is not exactly a sequel. This was actually a prequel of sorts. Or To Kill a Mockingbird is
a prequel that takes place after?
Exactly, yes. Well, To Kill a Mockingbird is actually a prequel to this book.
Interesting. So yeah. We're going to...
Well, Harper Lee was known. She had one novel, right? I don't think she wrote anything after this.
The only thing, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I wrote something, award-winning a book that has stood the test of time for the ages, and now we're going to come out with number two. And I'm sorry, then didn't write anything else.
She was a good book-getter, she said. That was some writers only have the one book, and that was her.
Oh, how awesome. Now, she was also good friends with Truman Capote, another interesting character.
Oh, yes.
Mac OS 10 has been revamped, and they took out iPhoto in the next version, and they're going to replace it with something called Photos, and it's hopefully going to be that solution to our digital photo conundrum. We all have that digital box of photos now, where we used to have a shoebox full of paper photos that we didn't quite know what photos were in that box. Now we've all got these hard drives that are just full of photos and we're not sure where the photos are. This might be the solution to that problem.
That's going to be interesting. I have an old computer. I have this old computer. I haven't gotten rid of it because it has all of our old photos on it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the question always is how many of these photos are really reasonable to keep? Because many of them, because we can take pictures, you can take by every half second or quarter second or whatever. Do we really need 1,000 shots of the same, like the same Christmas? And finding a way to organize this and get rid of some of it, make them useful. We have these great big, beautiful big screen televisions in houses. Where do we show these pictures? Where are they useful? How can we bore our friends to tears when they come to visit us? Let's go through Thanksgiving from last year, and this is me having my first bite. This is Grandma having her second bite. There we go.
That's right. What do you think, Mark? Do you have a bunch of pictures sitting around that you need organizing?
I'm a lifelong bachelor, so no.
You don't take a lot of pictures.
Don't take a lot of pictures. One thing we got from my mother a couple of years ago, it's a picture frame, an electronic picture frame. You load JPEGs on it, and so we actually scanned in all of her pictures that she loved, put it on that thing, she puts it up on her counter, and she can see her entire life flashing
before
in front of her.
Before her eyes. Good job.
Yeah, sorry, that's a horrible way to put it.
This is what you did, and it, more importantly, is what you didn't do. So we'll just point those out to
you. When you were happy.
This is back when you were happy.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of happy, there's lots of things that make people happy, including making yourself into a monster. There's a man in Venezuela who has turned himself into a real-life red skull. This is horrific, but I guess you can do what you want to do.
We have to preface this. Many people may not know who Red Skull is.
Well, I don't want to know who Red Skull is, and I don't want to know who this Venezuelan man is.
All right, so Captain America, the Marvel comic book, his big bad guy that he goes against is the Red Skull, who was supposedly, in the past, as far as the story goes, the Nazi guy. They've changed it a little bit, I think, now to make it more current. because who knows how, you know, these stories go on forever. But the point is, we have a guy in Venezuela who's cut off his nose, who has dyed his eyes black, who has put things underneath his skin, and then started tattooing his face red. And he's not finished yet. The doctor who did this says that he's a very sane person. He's a very likable person. One, why would you pick a bad guy? And two, why would you change your body on this level? I mean, this is not a decision that you can kind of undo.
Well, he's cut his nose off as well, right?
Exactly.
Insane.
Oh. It's a beautiful story. You probably want to take a picture of this, put it up for Valentine's Day.
We've put the link to the YouTube video, so you can watch the entire YouTube video. Good for him. We've talked about money in the past. We all have money that we can spend in whatever way we want, and I suppose cutting off your nose to spite your face is one thing that you can spend money on. Thank you. That's the whole story was just for that line.
Venezuela is starving right now, so you know they're having problems with all sorts of things. I guess if you have any resources, maybe this is something you could consider.
I suppose it's on the list.
It's a last frontier, my friend. You own your body.
There you go. Under Armour had a bunch of money sitting around, so they decided that they were going to buy MyFitnessPal and Endomondo, which are two fitness apps to add to the one that they already had, which is called Map My Fitness. So Under Armour is getting into the software business.
Interesting. What is Endomondo?
One of those. It's from Venezuela. Like no, it's another one of those apps that keeps track of your exercise, just like MapMyFitness and MyFitnessPal. So Under Armour's got something
planned. Are they going to try to merge these together as one big platform?
Certainly seems like they have chosen these three apps, and they're going to pick and choose the best parts of them and make them into one app, probably under the Under Armour name. Okay. You know, you still use the Nike Fitness app. Nike was a company that was into this for a good long while, and they're still in the space a little bit, but they stopped manufacturing all of their fitness products.
Well, they basically have used an app. Right now, if you have an iPhone, I use Nike Plus, which is their Nike running app, and it when you go and do activity, if you did it on I don't have a 6, but if you did it on a 6 or 6 Plus, it tracks you through everything through a pedometer that's automatically in the iPhone software. But for me, when I go and I go do a 3-mile walk or a 5-mile walk, it gives me Nike Fuel. That feeds into the health app. My assumption is that Under Armour's app will be a little grander in what it's doing, and it will feed right into the health app. The health app is being adopted. In fact, there was an article this week talking about the adoption in hospitals and across the industry where they're having good luck, where many of the companies are not having good luck. And it could be just there's just so many iPhones around.
And the fact that Tim Cook is on the board of Nike certainly doesn't hurt because he has a lot of influence on what Nike is doing with the Apple products and vice versa.
I'm assuming the Apple Watch will have the integration of this. Under Armour must be looking at the same type of integration, trying to become an alternative to the Nike Plus app in there. And, you know, it's very difficult to get media to be aware of something. We've got hundreds of and thousands of apps out there. How does your app stand up? Where does your app become the one that's adopted where someone else's is not, where they do similar things, or maybe yours does better?
There you go. Check your app. How about you, Mark? Do you use MyFitnessPal or any of the other fitness apps?
Nah, I don't even have a smartphone, so you know I'm pretty much a laptop and computer guy. I have a tablet. That's fancy for me. So
the fun thing about MyFitnessPal and all the others is they do have websites. You can check this information on the website just as well. And Chip and I have had some really good success with MyFitnessPal and with the Nike Plus, just having the knowledge, knowing what you're doing and making choices based on that knowledge is a lot more successful than guessing. And that's what I found, at least.
And in fact, I think that's exactly what the power of these types of apps are. It allows you to make better or more informed decisions. You still could make a bad decision purposely. You know, I smoked a cigar or something like that, even though you know it's bad for you. But maybe you order something with less calories. Maybe you go for a mile walk where you normally go for a half mile walk. You know, it just gives you that gentle nudge that you become aware of the activity that you have and how it may impact you over time. Over little adjustments over a long period of time can have dramatic differences.
As you've proven over the last 30 days, you've lost a lot of weight.
I have. I've lost about 20 pounds.
Very good.
Which means I'm about 150 pounds right now, if you're listening to us. That's exactly what I weigh.
Yeah, this is the downside of using this system where we might actually have a video viewer.
Oh. Well, you know, I have skinny legs.
That's right. Our last story today. Apple has been discovered to be driving a minivan. Maybe Apple's finally had kids and moved to suburbia, but there's some minivans driving around California registered to Apple, and they have cameras and sensors on them, and there's a lot of speculation on this. Everybody's speculating wildly that either Apple is working on their mapping technology for Apple Maps, or they are working on a self-driving car with an Apple branding. What do you think about that one, Mark?
I had heard Google was working on a self-driving car. I've heard nothing about an Apple development on that yet.
This is new. This has just happened this week. The Google car has been around for years. They've gone 700,000 miles on the Google self-driving car without a traffic accident. Well, there was one, but the car didn't make a mistake. There was a person driving the car, and they made a mistake. But do you want a self-driving car, Mark?
I have mixed feelings on this. Not that this is information entirely pertinent to what we're talking about, but I'm epileptic. I don't drive because I could kill someone if I got behind the wheel of a car. So for me, a self-driving car sounds like a phenomenal thing, a thing that would really change my life. On the other hand, I don't want there to be only self-driving cars. I like the idea of people having control over the vehicle. I enjoyed driving before I gave it up. And if I could still drive, I would. There's no way in hell I'd buy a self-driving car. So, for me personally, great. For society as a whole, maybe not as good.
I just want to point out that Tesla makes sports cars, and Apple took a minivan.
A really crummy one, too. Not even a nice minivan.
Oh, come on. It's a brand new Dodge minivan. They're nice. They are very nice. But if they want to sponsor us, we'll be willing to say how much nicer they are.
Oh, they're lovely.
All the other ones.
I love Chrysler. Chrysler, thanks for the support of the show.
By the way, if you've never gone to Google Maps and looked up your home through the driving app, when they come through your community where the car drives through and is taking pictures, it is amazing. You can see all sorts of stuff, fun stuff on that goes in front of someone's house. There's always some kooky picture someone's found of it. But
and
the
there
street
are ways to look up the schedule for the Google car and to be in the right place at the right time to do something kooky as well.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that would be fun.
Uh-huh. I think we've got a show idea.
There have been really cool things. I mean, there's been, you know, like knight fights, you know, where people are dressed as knights going after each other. There's war zones that they put together. Find Waldo in pictures. All sorts of fun stuff.
And that's how that happened, because those people found that schedule and knew when the Google car was coming through their community and went and arranged for that to happen. All right. I think that's enough news for this weekend. What do you think, Chip?
I think we can do it. I think we can survive this week with this amount of news.
Oh, okay. I think we could survive until Tuesday. I think we'll do the rest of the show on Tuesday. We just wanted to put the news out there on Sunday, and we're testing this out and see what happens. What do you think, Mark? Do we think you have enough news to get through to Tuesday?
I think we have more than enough news to get through to Tuesday. That'll do us good.
All right. So thanks again for tuning into Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasselblad.
And we'll see you back here on Tuesday for the regular show.